Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks to Pete for the update. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Mel Kiper says the Redskins should take Tua at number two, and they shouldn't think twice about it. How would you react if the Redskins did go quarterback at two, with Chase Young on the board having seen some development and growth from Haskins last December? We can get into that a little later in the hour. But right now, speaking of the draft in the NFL, Albert Breer of SI is with us. You can check out his work in the MMQB and all over their site. Albert, I want to start with the combine last night. Henry Ruggs ran a 4.27, and somehow people were slightly disappointed by it. What an amazing feat by him. He obviously helped himself. How much and who else at the wide receiver position stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ruggs really did help himself, because if you look, a lot of the times weren't great. And I know, you know, some agents were worried about that with their clients going into the combine, that the events being in prime time would affect performance. And mostly because guys are sitting around all day and they have it hanging over their head all day and they could overexert themselves. And so there were some guys that, you know, I mean, Jalen Reagor from TCU is one. Devin Duvernay from Texas is another, that were expected to put times up right there with Ruggs. And the fact that Ruggs ran that much faster than those guys, I think, really helped them. And I'll tell you, I mean, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a Tyreek Hill effect here, where you know, teams are starting to look at these guys who are real burners. They can run in the 4.2, 4.3 range. They aren't overly big, and they're saying to themselves, these guys can be a focal point of an offense for us. And so, you know, I think a guy like Ruggs, not only is helped by the fact that he ran real well, and some other guys didn't run quite as well as expected last night, but also by, you know, what I think will be a little bit of a Tyreek Hill effect in how NFL teams evaluate receivers.
Albert, I thought Jalen Hurts looked great. I mean, I don't know anything. I'm just an idiot who likes to watch the combine. But, man, oh, man, did he help his stock. Running a 4.5, looked good throwing the football. Might people start to go down that road? You know, it used to be this rare bird of athletic quarterback. Now it's the norm. Everyone's in shotgun all the time, running college stuff. He looks like a find for somebody.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, because, you know, I think what you're seeing in this, I mean, shoot, this goes all the way back to, you know, when you guys were watching RG3 back there and 2012, but these guys who can move, in the NFL, it's going to buy these guys time now to develop as passers, because you're going to be able to do some things creatively with them as they play early in their careers to make them effective. And as you know, they continue to sort of get more experience, they're going to get better as passers. And look, like, there's also, you know, the piece of this with Jalen Hurts where, you know, he had a number of different offensive coordinators at Alabama, played for Nick Saban, and he's also played for Lincoln Riley. And there are very few guys that have that sort of, you know, pedigree on their resume. And so I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to be a first rounder, but, you know, you at least hear some buzz that, you know, with a good couple days here, and if he continues to do well through the process, certainly could be a guy who goes on Friday instead of Saturday, which I don't think very many people would have expected at the beginning of the season based on who he was as a quarterback coming out of Alabama.
I loved CD Lamb's night last night. I know he ran a 4.51. Yeah. I really don't care about that. I think 4.5 is plenty fast enough with all of his other skills. Is he going to be the first player taken? Now, give me the type of team that could be a fit and where he could come off the board in terms of range.
Yeah, so I think with CD Lamb, it's, you know, really kind of this group at the top that, you know, there's a cluster of receivers. You know, the fact that T. Higgins didn't do anything because he was, what, resting yesterday, I think that probably helped CD Lamb. You know, Jerry Jeudy, I'd say good, not great. I think CD Lamb puts himself in the conversation to be the number one receiver taken. As for where he's going to go, I will say this. I think there's going to be a little bit of an effect that depresses the value of receivers at the top of the first round. The reason why, there's so much depth this year, like 20 to 25 guys who could go in the first three rounds. I think some teams are going to look at this and say, let's go get our pass rusher, let's go get our corner, let's go get our offensive tackle, whatever it might be, early in the first round, and we'll come back in the second or third round. We'll still be able to get a really good player. And if you look at it, there's a lot of evidence the last few years that you can get good players at that position in the second round. Michael Thomas was a second rounder. He's best receiver in football. The two Ole Miss kids last year, A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf, both performed really well as rookies, better than the guys that went in the first round. And so I think there's certainly going to be a little bit of an effect there where, you know, in a year where there's a ton of depth, but maybe there's no Julio or Calvin Johnson, some teams at the top of the draft are going to sit there and say to themselves, you know, we're okay waiting at 10 or 15 and just filling out another position and then coming back in the second round and getting a receiver.
At Albert Breer on Twitter, give him a follow. MMQB, one of my favorite guests, talking NFL with us. Albert, how many teams, I mean, this is early, things will change, workouts will happen, pro days will happen, et cetera, but how many teams right now, realistically, want Tua bad?
I mean, unless you can give me access to the opinions of their team doctors, I don't know.
Is that still the case?
I know that sounds like a cop-out. Yeah, but I mean, you know, look, like, hey, this is out of the hands of the football people, too. You know, I mean, the football people have to listen to their doctors, and, you know, that the way this works, and I think you guys know this, is, they put grades on them that basically dictate where they can draft them. You know, and sometimes a medical grade will keep you from drafting a guy in the top 20. Sometimes a medical grade will keep you from drafting a guy in the top three rounds. And most coaches and executives do really listen to these team doctors. And so unless you know what each one of those guys, what each one of those guys is thinking and assessing too, and what they're passing along to their football people, it's really hard to say. I would say this, he's a special talent in a lot of different ways, and he's seen by a lot of teams as a left-handed Drew Brees. Would Miami move up from 5? Would the Chargers move up from 6? I think a lot of that's just going to be dependent on what happens, with the medical stuff. And I would say this too. There are teams that have looked at the first-round history at the quarterback position over the last decade and seen that pretty much every single guy who came into the league at that position in the first round over the last 10 years with significant injury history got hurt again. It's Sam Bradford in 10, Jake Locker in 11, Robert Griffin in 12, Marcus Mariota in 15, Carson Wentz in 16, and Deshaun Watson in 17. All those guys had major injuries in college. All those guys got hurt very early in their careers. And so that's something to consider as well.
Albert Breer's new game plan came out yesterday. He talked to Cliff Kingsbury about how teams missed on Patrick Mahomes, as well as ranking some UFAs and writing about the CBA. Albert, I'm sure you saw what Mel Kiper said. We talked about this a lot in the last few minutes of our show as it broke yesterday. But he basically says the Redskins are on the clock at 2, and if they get a clean bill of health on Tua, they should not pass on him. He clearly views him as a generational talent and someone as a prospect that far exceeds Haskins. He said let them compete, although, frankly, I would think you move on from Haskins-Rosen style at that point. But regardless, I'm curious, just your reaction to that and comping Tua to Haskins as prospects, like what you would think about them going QB again at 2.
Well, I think you have to give Haskins some time here, and they'll get some time with him, and they'll get a better feel for him. Kyle Smith has a feel for him, but, you know, guys like, you know, Ron Rivera and Scott Turner will have a better feel for him. I think a big part of the equation with Dwayne is going to be growing up a little bit. And if they feel like he's done that, you know, then it would make sense to work with him. If they feel like there's a generational talent at that position, you know, you don't pass up on them. That's what happened last year with the Cardinals and Kyler. They felt like he was a generational talent. They saw some things other people didn't. They decided they couldn't pass up on him. So if that's the way you see Tua and you think he's going to be able to stay healthy, that's one thing. But I also just, you know, the way I look at this, I mean, there's absolutely going to be a generational talent and another position available there in Chase Young. And I think I've made this analogy for you guys, but, you know, you saw what Nick Bosa did in San Francisco last year. He entered a defensive line room that had a ton of former first-round picks in it, you know, in Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner and Solomon Thomas and Dee Ford. And he basically, you know, turned that into the most dominant, you know, group in the league. And if you look at the Redskins, they're loaded with first-round picks on the defensive line. You know, Ryan Kerrigan, we'll see if he's back or not, but if he is, he's won. Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, and Jonathan Allen. You insert Chase Young into that group, maybe the whole group looks different. And so I think that's something to consider too.
Albert, awesome as always, buddy. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks for the time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
You bet. There's SI and MMQB's Albert Breer on Grant and Danny. I've got a wacky idea for a show trip next fall.
Go on.
I'm going to pitch it to you next. Plus, some numbers on 40 times for wide receivers and why maybe 40 time is not as important at that position as you might think. You're listening to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, y'all. Danny Ruya here. I'm a Ted Britt guy. It's so important to let you know that I'm a Ted Britt guy. We had to do it in back-to-back commercial sets. That's the big deal. I'm letting you know that I'm a Ted Britt guy. I wanted to emphasize it to you folks. I've had three different vehicles in my life from Ted Britt Ford. When it's time to get a fourth, it's coming up pretty soon. By the way, guess where I'm going? That's right, Ted Britt Ford. Now is the time to experience the best buying experience in the D.C. metro area. And I speak from experience. I use the word experience an awful lot in the last couple of sentences there. When you buy from Ted Britt Ford, it means confidence for life, okay, including powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair. Oh, my God, my windshield, it chipped or cracked. What do? Take it to Ted Britt Ford. No problem. Nitro tire fill. Complimentary Virginia State inspection all for life. No more driving around with your hot coffee in your right hand on a Saturday morning trying to check an item off the honey-do list. No siree, Bob. Just go to Ted Britt Ford. They take care of it for you, and that's for life. Right now is a good time as well. Get yourself $15,500 off an F-150 truck from your F-150 headquarters. Where is it, Ted Britt Ford? $10,000 off a 2020 Ford Explorer. $8,000 off a 2019 Ford Ranger truck. You get the theme. You don't pay that much money. You're going to leap over your first couple of payments because it's a leap year. It's a nice little special thing they're doing. And they treat you great. That's how they've been in business for more than 60 years. Go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford and tell them.
Devin the Fan. I told you I might have an idea for a show trip. I don't think you're going to want to take this show trip, though, Danny.
Okay.
The last time you shot down a show trip was when? Like, when you just didn't go. Was that Vegas?
Yeah, it was you guys were going to a boxing match.
Mayweather-Pacquiao.
That I had no interest in. And still don't, by the way.
In fairness, we were not going to a boxing match. We didn't stay for the match, unfortunately. We were going to Las Vegas for Radio Row,
right,
to do radio shows leading up to the fight, where we would do one or two segments a day on boxing.
Right, right.
But the rest of the time, we were just doing our radio show from Las Vegas.
And Tom Lavero mistook Brendan for me.
That did happen, yeah. He walked up and introduced himself to Dar as you.
Did we play that, Tom? Like, it's somehow, because it wasn't live on the air. It was, like, during
a
break.
No, Tom just heard
it
through the microphone.
Yeah.
Because it was during a break while you were wearing your mic.
Yeah, it was during a break, which was so funny.
It's pretty great.
Like, how you doing, Tom Lavero? And you're like, Brendan.
He goes... No, he said, like, hey,
look,
Danny.
Hey, Danny, how you doing?
But he would have thought, funny, probably, the guy sitting next to me on,
sure,
Radio Row,
yeah,
was Danny Ruya.
Yeah, it would make sense,
he,
right?
Wouldn't have known that you just decided to stay back in studio and didn't make the trip to Vegas.
I did not go to Vegas for the boxing thing.
That was one of the times that No Fun Ruya really made an appearance. And I think that led to the billing of No Fun Ruya. But here's my next idea. This one's hot. I think you're going to hate it, and I'm pretty sure you're going to have no interest, but here we go. So Les Carpenter tweeted this. I don't know if you saw this today.
I didn't, no.
The Arizona Cardinals have 8 home games like everyone else does this coming season. One of those games is against the Dolphins, who already play an overseas game. The Cardinals have agreed that their 2020 home game, one of them, will be played in Mexico City. One of their other 7 opponents is the Redskins. So whatever 7, whatever 1 out of 7 is as a percentage chance, that's the percentage chance that the Redskins are going to be playing in Mexico City next year. Let me do the math real quick. I've got it at about 14%.
Yeah, I was going to say, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there.
So it's 14% chance that the Redskins are going to play a game in Mexico City next year. I'm thinking Grant and Danny on the road in Mexico City.
Grant and Brendan, Mexico City.
For a little football, what does my pal DR think about a trip to Stadium Azteca in Mexico City?
The amount that I'll be comfortable right here in the nation's capital not being beheaded is very, very high.
I don't think anyone's been beheaded who's traveled over to Mexico City to watch one of these NFL games where the Raiders play every year.
Yet.
So you'll be the first?
No.
Is that your concern?
Yeah, I'm not risking it. Just be right here, very calm. No interest in going to Mexico City.
What if CK comes to us? And he won't because we work for a company that doesn't like traveling at this point. However, for the big stuff, CK says, we are going to this. We're going to Nat spring training. We're going to the World Series.
Yep.
He throws his weight around. He gets things done. What if CK decides? I don't know how we get here or why we get here.
If he tells me I have to go, I have to go.
No, but what if he just says, hey, guys, it's up to you entirely. However, I think it'd be really good for the show. I think it's great for the station if you end up in Mexico City to broadcast the Redskins and the Cardinals.
If he makes me go, I'll go. And I'll complain about getting a middle seat, I suppose, for an hour. But if he doesn't make me go, then I'm not going.
Is there any – would he have to give you – give me an idea of him making you go, what that sounds like.
The show's going, so we expect you to go. Okay.
But that was the Vegas trip, and you didn't go to that.
That wasn't the Vegas trip. This is completely optional. You guys don't have to do this. You guys were like, yeah, that sounds like fun. And I was like, yeah, that sounds miserable. I'm not doing that. So
okay,
that's
I just took it as the show is going, meaning you should go. So you're saying if he comes to you and says, hey, whoever wants to go can go. Nobody has to go.
Right.
You're just staying put. You wouldn't think for 5 seconds about going?
Zero.
Is it because you watch so much Narcos?
And I'm aware of the news. So I'm not going to Mexico City. If I've got to go to Mexico, which I've had to a couple different times, I'm going to like Riviera Maya, going to Cancun, and I'm going straight from the airport
to the resort.
To the resort where they have armed guards waiting outside. I'm sure because everything's fine. The armed guards are there just to make sure everything stays fine.
Now, I think this could be surprising to you.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'd want to go either. I think I would probably say, like, if he asked.
Now, what would you possibly eat down there if you're there for a couple days?
They got burgers there, no? They got to have burgers in Mexico.
They've got...
By the way, what I would eat is the least of my concerns going to Mexico. I'll be honest with you.
If I'm you, it's my biggest concern. Everything is, quote, Mexican-y. And that you would struggle
it
with.
It is very Mexican-y, but I could get burritos. I could get fajitas. I could get just cheese and chicken.
I don't think you're going to get that in Mexico.
Why not?
It would be more like authentic Mexican dishes.
It would be delicious Mexican food.
Yeah. Bet I could find a way to find a burrito or a fajita in Mexico.
Well, I'm saying you would, but they would be the kind that we like as people that like food.
Yeah.
And you would hate them.
Here's what I would do. I would say, please give me chicken and cheese in that fajita and press them together and let the cheese melt and then hand it to me.
And they're going
to
say no habla ingles.
They might do that. Again, that's the least of my concerns. Like Danny, I'm more concerned for my health probably, my safety, if I'm going to Mexico. But my question to you would be, there's no demands. How much would CK have to pay you to like willingly go?
Thousands.
Really?
Yeah. Multiples of thousands. It's not just one either. It's more than that.
Remember, you're going for Redskins Cardinals, a cool event. You're seeing Kyler Murray,
two teams that can combine for almost 10 wins. I think
you're seeing Dwayne Haskins, your boy. You love Dwayne Haskins,
sure do. I can see him on television. I think ultimately for me, a couple things have to happen. I'll give you my criteria right now.
Let's do it.
It doesn't go on my credit card ever, and then I have to go through expenses and not get paid for months and months.
Yeah,
and
that's
months
a good
months.
Start.
So number one, I don't pay a dime out of pocket for the hotel or for the big dumb flight where I'll get a middle seat. That's number one. I'll sit next to an 800-pound guy, and no one will have any sympathy for me. So that's number one. Number two, an extra cash stipend of multiple thousands of dollars. Exactly what my threshold is, I'm not entirely sure.
All right, CK comes to you and says, I'll give you $2,500.
I think that's it.
That's the one?
I think that's right there. But then would I do it for $2,400? Would I do it for $2,450? I probably would. So then maybe that's a lie. You know what I mean? If it's $2,500 is the number I would shoot for.
Would you want to watch the game from the crowd or the press box?
Press box.
Because when we went to New Orleans, you sat in the crowd.
Which is a lot of fun.
But in Mexico City, you're a press box guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Press box Ruye.
Yeah. Not a Stadium Azteca.
What kind of hotel situation would you demand?
A secure one. One that I felt comfortable in.
Do they have just like courtyard Marriotts in Mexico City?
Courtyard Marriott wouldn't do it for me. And I'm a Marriott guy.
Yeah.
But that's not good enough.
So what are you looking for?
I don't know.
Are you just going to stay at the...
You find me the hotel that's got the greatest, like, whatever Yelp review is.
Are you just
going
to stay at the American Embassy?
Now we're talking. Talk to the consulate. Now you're starting to speak my language. Safety is the key here. Safety. I also need a driver that we trust that's been vetted. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's from the embassy. Maybe it's somebody that we can 100% trust is not just there to turn us over to the gang.
I would just be so scared. Like, I've heard so many horror stories of either terrible things you see in Mexico, or, like, you go there and just somehow, like, you get pulled over and you're just in custody and there's a language barrier and now what happens? You know what I mean?
Like, your car's been stolen. You call the police. The police is like, now you got to call this guy.
How about this is even better? We go and CK demands that you rent a car and drive us to and from everywhere.
The amount of complaining that I would do. I mean, again, if I'm told I have to go, I have to go.
Any level of thought to quit before going?
No, I can't. I mean, what else am I going to do? I've wasted my prime years doing something that doesn't build any skills industry.
What would the threshold be before you quit? Like, CK, that I'm just making ridiculous.
No, I understand.
Like,
I know that.
So now you have to drive us around, and CK demands that we stay for 10 days and do shows all over Mexico. Like, at what level would you start to think about quitting?
I don't know. It would be pretty far.
CK says that you have to embed with a cartel for a week and then... and then talk
you have to do
about
a cartel vlog,
right? No. And then you have to talk about it on the show, like the following, like your
day
experience.
Number three. The Sinaloa cartel's treating me pretty well. I got water this morning.
Would you quit before you did that?
I suppose I would quit before I had
all
to be
right.
embedded with
see,
a cartel.
See, now we're getting somewhere.
I would say I respectfully tender my resignation so that I don't have to be embedded with a cartel for a week.
I knew we were getting somewhere with that.
A week with a cartel.
So you're not going to Mexico City with the Grant and Danny radio
show.
Can
you imagine, by the way, it's like Gartel just like sends a message through somebody where he's like, hey, could you guys make sure you get some video of this? Get some cool video for social. Here's me with the cartel.
With our video team. Different Gartel versus the cartel.
Right. Gartel wants video of the cartel.
Yeah. Mike Cartel. Man, I don't know how we got there. So that was fun. But bottom line is we should not pitch to CK in a meeting to go follow the Redskins to Mexico City to watch Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray, the 15th overall and first overall picks from last year in Mexico City if that game comes to fruition. That's what you're telling me. Les Carpenter says there's a 14% chance it's going to go down.
You're telling me there's a chance?
That's one where if I was still on the Redskins beat, I would not be steamed up for that. I had to get a passport to go watch them play in Toronto.
In Toronto.
And I was jacked. I'd never been to Canada at that point. I'd never left the
Toronto's
country.
Great.
It was the coolest experience ever. But this would be a little different. This would be something I'd have to think about. That might be a week where I go, I can't make that one. I've got something in my throat. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's talk wide receiver 40 times and why last night's times might be over-talked about and not as important as you think. You're listening to G&D. Anything over 4.4, you're not considered to be, quote-unquote, like a burner, particularly fast at the wide receiver position. But if you look at the 2019 wide receiver leaders in receptions, and you look at their 40 times, the story told, I think, is pretty revealing about how much we overrate the 40-yard dash for that position.
Mm.
Doesn't mean it can't help you. I'm not completely ruling it out. I think if you're slow... Now, if you're a 4.7 guy, if you're a 4.75 guy, that's probably an issue, to be completely honest with you. But as long as you're in that 4.5, 4.6 range, I think what we have seen is if you're a good route runner and you have good hands and you're a smart player, you're going to be just fine in the NFL. Here is the list of the top 10 players in the league last year by way of their catch totals and their 40 times. Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints. Care to take a guess?
4.6 something.
4.57.
There you go.
DeAndre Hopkins of the Texans.
4.5. Low 4.5s.
4.57. Keenan Allen of the Chargers.
I feel like he's slow. 4.63.
4.71.
Wow.
Julian Edelman ran a 4.52 at his pro day. Julio Jones is the only guy in the top 10, and he's
4.39.
Fifth in catches, who ran a sub 4.440. His best time pre-draft was 4.34. Allen Robinson of the Bears was sixth in the league in catches, a 4.6 flat. Cooper Kupp of the Rams, coming off injury last year, finished seventh in receptions. Has a chance, I think, to crack the top five in the next couple of years with Sean McVay calling plays, a 4.6 240. Robert Woods, also with the Rams, who is often targeted and utilized in that offense, a 4.5 guy, basically the exact same time as CeeDee Lamb. Tyler Boyd, who gets a million passes thrown his way by the Bengals, a 4.58. And then DJ Moore, kind of surprising to me, by the way, that he cracked the top 10 in catches last year.
Yeah, snuck up there.
Snuck up and had a great stretch run and really is going to be a nice player for the Panthers, obviously. Yeah, Terp went to Maryland, a 4.4 240. He's the only other guy under 4.5. But my point is this. If you're just looking at 40 time and kind of disqualifying guys because they run 4.5s, that is ludicrous. Most of the best, most targeted, reliable receivers in football last year were not 4.3, 4.4. They were 4.5, 4.6. And in the case of Keenan Allen, I would take that guy on my team in a heartbeat.
Sure.
I don't actually think he runs a 4.7. I mean, maybe after all the injuries now, he would run a 4.7 if you asked him to go run the 40. But that's what he ran at his pro day pre-draft, a 4.71. So I stop short of saying the 40-yard dash does not matter. I think people that say that are overblowing its insignificance. But don't come at me and tell me that if you don't run a fast 40 as a wide receiver that you are doomed, because that's just not the case.
I think that's a fair point. I mean, it is silly the way that it's done, right? It's an exercise that's not done in the NFL. In other words, you do run straight, but you don't start in a sprinter stance. You start from wide receiver stance. I've never understood, and going through this with baseball as well, when you try out for pro teams and you get scouted, you run the 60-yard dash, but you run it from a way that you never, ever do on a baseball field. Why? Why do you run the 60? You don't go from, you know, steal a base, go, you know, take your lead, turn sideways. They should absolutely run the 40-yard dash in the NFL. But here's how they should do it. I would start this instantaneously. You put your full pads on, and you run like you're running a play. Someone says hut, and then you go on that. How quickly do you get from there to there once the guy says hut? That's what matters, right? But they do it in this track way, and these guys have this different preparation that has nothing to do with football, where they hire track consultants, you know, the agents do it, they go to the IMG Academy and do these completely different exercises to figure out, you know, things that have nothing to do with actually playing football on a football field. The stuff that's really important that I really like now, I'm looking at these things called spark scores, where guys are talking about athletic profiles of players. So, for example, someone that I was wrong about, we brought him up last segment, DK Metcalf, didn't have a great spark score because he didn't, you know, perform poorly in these things like the three cone drill or the shuttle thing or whatever about changing direction. You cannot have a great 40 time, but if you can set a defender up, fake his, you know, the pants off and break inside or break outside when the guy thinks you're going the opposite way and get receptions, you get open on people like DeAndre Hopkins does with body control like a ballerina, then run whatever 40 time you want, right? But they're all data points, I think. And we talked about this the other day with hand size as well. It's just a data point. Some are weighed more heavily than others, but it's a good point. It's an illustrative point.
I think the three cone I'm coming around on as being vital, and I know that Metcalf is going to be the exception, but he certainly isn't the rule of not being good at that and not putting up a good time and having a really strong rookie season. But I think the biggest mistake that we make as an industry, that's as far as media, fans, all of us alike, the teams themselves do this all the time, is you try to have rules for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like we try to determine, as an example, if the 40-yard dash is important or it isn't, or the three-cone drill is important or it isn't. And I think there's going to be exceptions to every single rule. Like DK Metcalf is a specimen the likes of which there are only a couple of on the planet. If you look at his body type, his size, his speed, just the dude that he is, there aren't that many guys like him roaming planet Earth. So to try to compare other people that are not him to him in the future is a huge mistake, and I think that's what we do. Everyone says, well, if you don't check these boxes, like the new thing is, if you look at all of the players in the NFL that have had 100 catch seasons, they were in this range in their combine workouts. Okay. But that might exclude a guy who's unique or different.
Right, that's true until it isn't, right?
Exactly. And if you rule a guy out from being drafted because he doesn't fit that group, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. But if your point is, this is analysis, this is information, this is data, we call it analytics, and it tells us that it's less likely that infrequently guys who run or jump or have that body type will work, okay, cool, I agree with you. You're playing the percentages.
Mm-hmm.
But there are no absolutes in the draft. There should not be rules. No one should ever not draft a player at number five because of the position he plays, in my opinion. No one should ever make some rule that they have to trade up or trade down, or they have to do. Every draft is different. Every player is different. And I think you got to act accordingly. It's such an inexact science. But it's part of why it's so amazing to watch this combine process. Next on Grant and Danny, it is Friday. Let's win off the field at 800-636-1067. You tell us the little teeny tiny thing that's going right in your day. 12 o'clock, our Beltway Blitz. And at 12:18, Kuiper says go Tua at 2. Albert Breer reacted to that today. Which side of the aisle are you on? You're listening to The Fan. Can you tell us about the little teeny thing in your life that has made your day better? Nobody else would probably care about. Danny, I'll give you an example in just a second.
Could you please?
We'll let you know that Beltway Blitz time is 15 minutes away at noon today. Chris Russell on the Redskins and the Defenders. You got J.J. Regan on the Capitals, who got shut out last night, and Chase Hughes on the Wizards. Weekend in sports ahead. As I mentioned, the Defenders play their fourth game of the season, looking to get to 3-1. They got to bounce back after a bad loss. Redskins are at the Combine, working out players all weekend. A lot of news to come out, I'm sure, on the Redskins front of what they're thinking with the number two pick. Capitals don't play again until Sunday. They've got a big game coming off a loss, though, as they try to hang on to a Metro Division lead. And the Wiz double dip Saturday and Sunday, two games coming up this weekend.
Also had two big games for the Terps, I believe, coming up. They are 15-0 at home. Yeah. Thank you very much, Coach. Looking to go undefeated at home for the first time since 2001-2002. And you'll remember what they did that year. They won the national title. That's right, Coach.
They have a real legit chance to win a conference outright. First time, long time.
Big Ten is deep. Up at the top, it's not unbelievable. But it's a deep conference. There are no nights off.
Trying to hang a banner. They tip off against Michigan State at home tomorrow at 8 p.m. I would think campus will be buzzing and that place will be rocking. And then they're at Rutgers on Tuesday night. So they play Saturday, Tuesday, and they wrap up the season next Sunday. They host Michigan, two top 20 teams in Maryland right here at College Park. All right, Danny, give us an example. How are you winning off the field today, please?
This was bad initially. It didn't look very good, Grant.
Danny Rauer.
Thank you very much. He's a forgetful Jones, that guy. So I had a lot going on this morning.
Danny Rauer.
My youngest didn't sleep last night. It was really fun. He's up. He's screaming. Had an 8 o'clock meeting at my son's school this morning. So we're frantic. We're trying to get out the door. We got to bring the little guy. The whole thing's a pain in the butt. I forgot my coffee. You know, the thing that I need to be me. I need it, Grant. I need it. I forgot it. We go to the meeting. I'm groggy. We get through the meeting. It didn't take very long, this meeting. It was a positive meeting. So I had enough time to go back home, recover the coffee that's sitting right there on the kitchen counter waiting for me to consume it, and I still got to work at a reasonable hour. It went from disaster to fine. And because of that, I am.
Winning off the field?
It's a happy ending to this.
Happy ending. I was scared.
As well, you should have.
Could I come in here with no coffee? No. What am I going to do?
So there is a period of 40 days that end up being largely miserable for me every Friday. Because my wife loves to do a bit where she doesn't let us eat meat.
Yeah.
We are in that 40-day period right now.
The Catholics.
So, my only way through here, my only path to not be, I eat meat every day. It's what I like to do.
You're a meat guy.
Nobody's going to tell me not to eat meat. I hate not eating meat. I think it's stupid to not eat meat for any reason. I'm just going to lay that out there.
Ooh.
It's a point of contention. Okay.
Surprise.
It ruins my mood. Yeah. It annoys me to no end that just a day of the week that I'm not allowed to eat meat now.
You're a little salty.
Just for no reason.
She does the fish?
She's a big fish person.
Fish person. Yeah,
right? Probably. Or, no, here's the thing. It could be great, except I'm not allowed to eat the other stuff. She could be making grilled cheese. I would love grilled cheese. We could make peanut butter and jellies. I love peanut butter and jellies. Am I allowed to eat any of that?
You can't.
I'm allowed to eat things that give me protein and have no, basically, carbs or sugar.
So
that means I eat meat, by the way.
So compliance with Catholic doctrine and being right with the Lord is costing you
happiness.
The ability to be on your diet, to be on plan.
Well, no, it's not. It's just costing me Fridays being a miserable experience.
Oh, I see.
Until about 38 days from now. So here's the whole point of the dude's story. I sent a text today, fired it off. Was hoping to be met with not cynicism, not anger, but rather excitement.
Okay.
I said, bonefish tonight. because there's an item at Bonefish called crab crusted cod that I like that I will eat.
Yeah.
That won't ruin my entire night. So here's what I'm going to do. She said, let's go to Bonefish.
We laugh.
So I'm going to go to Bonefish. That's a great cut, Tommy. Well done.
Oh, yeah, then we live.
Eli Rogers is live. I'm going to Bonefish. I'm eating crab cakes for my appetizer.
You won't sit next to Jason Bishop.
I might. I'm going to go. He won't be there yet. It's too early. I'm going at the cakes plant. I'll be there at like 5 o'clock. So crab cakes and then.
And football.
It's going to be so good.
To Maryland.
And then I'm going to eat crab crusted cod back to back. And then I'm going to have to just go to bed early. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit there mad that I'm hungry.
But you fired this off and you made this plan and you're doing it.
Right.
Was it what? Met with resistance or everyone's all in?
No, she's very happy.
Oh, nice.
She's very happy good. To go to Bonefish.
Raven and Oriole.
So that's the point. I am officially
winning off the field
because she's very happy to go to Bonefish tonight. Now, if she'd have said, no, we're staying home and doing like grilled cheese, then what? I eat tuna fish out of the can. I'm sure that's a fun day for me.
Oh, that's a bad
time. I need everyone to understand, how many days do I get on this planet? This is my big picture point. Let's say I live 59 years. Okay. I think that's probably a good number for me. Times 365. I get 21,535 days, and you just want to take a bunch of those Fridays away? My happiness is in the form of meat.
When you put it like that.
How dare you?
That's right, Phyllis. Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. Let's go to Rich, who's in Olney on Richard. Grant and Danny. Hello, Rich.
What's going on, guys?
How's it going?
So yesterday was my older son's birthday. Had all the family come over, pizza, cake, and all that. Got about 25 presents. Not one of them required assembly. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
That's big time. I ask, when you get that many presents, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like, do you want that much stuff at your house? Does your kid like need more stuff? What's your take on that?
Home decor.
He definitely doesn't need it, but when he sleeps, I kind of take all the old stuff that he hasn't played with in months and donate it.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel because I don't want to be rude and say to like text my family and be like, "Hey, baby's first birthday's coming up. I'm trying to move. I don't have enough room in my house. Please don't bring this baby anything. The baby needs nothing. It's 1 year old.
Don't take whatever money you spend.
A, everyone brings whatever they want anyway. And B, they take it like it's a rude comment.
Take whatever money you were going to spend and donate it to my child's 529. That's what you tell them. Tell them that. And if they want to bring something, a trinket, that's fine. But you'll eventually chuck it. But I'm with you.
I just feel like you.
Happy birthday.
You come off like a jerk, but literally. This is a one-year-old baby
right. That
will not remember this.
Yeah.
We need not a lot. Like, I have no room for anything.
Right.
You bring things, it just means I have now stuff at
just
my house.
Just more stuff. It's in the way.
I know this is as much for you as me. And the like, everyone's having a fun time. Let's celebrate the baby. But it's a lot of stuff. I don't need any more stuff. Let's go to Walter in Alexandria. Hey, Walter.
Good morning. How are you gentlemen doing this morning?
Hey,
doing
buddy.
Great.
You know, a couple days ago, I went across the street. I paid your number, 1067, $2 exact, and $5 in the order. I picked up $1,000.
Wow.
And I was winning off the field.
My man, whoa. That's good cash. How about that from Walter? Play the 1067 numbers more often. Mindy and Ashburn, how are you?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thank you.
So my son... I have two boys that share a room, and there's been a smell coming from their room recently, but I haven't had the time to really investigate. Today I'm sitting here cleaning the room while I'm listening to you guys, and I moved a bookcase, and behind the bookcase I found 4 sandwich baggies full of peppers that have been dumped back from their lunch.
Wow.
Winning off the field.
The smell is done.
She solved
the mystery. Mindy, that's outstanding.
A convo needs to happen with your kids, but you did solve the mystery.
Very good mom there. Yeah, let's have a chat about peppers and where they belong and where they don't. The Beltway Blitz kicks off the second half of the show next. We'll talk Trent Williams and the number 2 pick on Grant and Danny right here. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.